Praise the Lord. What a beautiful anointing that we have tonight. And we're just going to go right into the teaching and letting that anointing flow. The title of this teaching tonight is, If God Said It, Just Do It. See the exclamation there? This teaching came out of life experience that I've had, and other people that I've been, my husband and I have been mentoring and ministering to that are ABCers. And, you know, I think one of the best ways to describe mentoring is, let me help you not go through the school of hard knocks like we did. You know, in the multitude of counselors, there's a wisdom, and hopefully you'll learn what not to do, and you could do it better than us, okay? But as we try to emulate Jesus and be more like him, we have to look up to our leadership of what are they doing? Am I going to be able to imitate them? You know, one of the reasons why we came to ABC Church, that God had answered our prayers and we were praying for a long time. The Lord had used us in the mission field and we'd seen many miracle signs and wonders happen when we laid hands on the sick, when we anointed the Christians with oil. But when we had some challenges in our own life, it was another story. And I remember being on crutches with my left leg in a cast, my right knee pending surgery. And that was the week I was supposed to start the healing rooms ministry and go down some stairs and up some other stairs and through a long hallway. And I said, I'm not going to let the devil stop me. This is a lie of the devil. And I don't care what it looks like. I know that God's word works. And the devil was trying to get us to not open up that ministry. And so don't be weary and well doing. You know, God said, do that ministry. So we, guess what we did? We just did it. No matter what the cost. We want to be hearers and doers. We want to obey. Being in God's will is the best place to be. And I know I'm not going to offend people. I'm just going to tell you what I've learned. But I have learned that when I have a challenge in my body, that I don't want to stay home in bed while the service is going on, because that will open doors to the devil to attack me even stronger, and then I may not be able to get out of that bed. You know, Pastor Joshua paints the scenario. The devil likes to isolate the sheep. And so pretty soon that person is sitting on the couch at home, not in church. Then pretty soon after that, because he said, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. So I know that media and technology is great, but there's something about coming together if you're in a local church. Local. I understand if you live far away, okay? But and then if you live far away, gather more people, invite them into your living room to join you to live stream. You know, start assembling people. That's what it's about, right? Then if they end up in bed, then pretty soon they don't want to get out of bed day or night, and then the next day, and the next day, and then pretty soon they end up in a little room in the hospital, and then pretty soon they end up in a little box by themselves, 6 feet under. And this is the strategy of the enemy. So tonight I'm going to show you some more strategies of the evil one. And don't get mad at the messenger bearer. I am just an observer. I'm just sharing with you things that have happened in my life, things I see as patterns in other people's lives and learn from them so that I don't fall into that trap of the enemy and go down the slippery slope. And God knows we've all fallen and gotten back up, right? Part of my testimony is before I came to ABC, the Lord showed us that our ministry was stagnated. Only 80% of the people who had cancer got healed that came to our ministry. What happened to the other 20%? They're in heaven. And we had a high percentage of the healing rooms success or testimonies. Mm-hmm. People would come from Canada, Colorado, Central America, because their family and friends were healed, and then they would get healed. I think it's because God had healed me of cancer 2 times, and I had faith for that. And I did that by affirming the Word of God day and night. Well, the devil gave me insomnia because of the pain. I was on 3,000 milligrams of painkiller. It didn't even work, so I might as well stay up. So I said, well, devil, you're going to keep me up. I'm just going to quote the Word of God over myself. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, how things turned out was they couldn't find the cancer that the pretest said there was cancer. And so I had that faith. So when people came in the healing rooms, when I trained our team, they could have that faith because there was a testimony and testimony after testimony. Do you know what testimonies? Remember, if you get the test, then you're able to give the report of what the test was. And so are you getting an A, B, C, D, or F on your tests? What is your body going through? What are the diagnoses? Is there progress in your body, in your bank account, in your relationships, in you ministering to people? Are they getting the healing they need when you minister? We need to grade ourselves and say, Lord, where I'm weak, can you make me strong? You know, the ball players go every year to train. Multi-million dollar ball players who, you know, have World Series rings. They have to go back to basics, and they always improve on their weaknesses. Always improve on their weaknesses. The coaches know what their status is and their whatever you call it. I don't know. They have those little baseball cards, whatever. Then they tell you how many errors, how many runs, how many hits, how many whatever, right? And they look at it and they say, okay, then spring training, you need to work on this, that, and the other. Now, you're really great at batting, so you don't even need to be in the batting cage that often, but you still have to make sure your skills stay sharpened. But when we put you in second base, you don't catch any of those balls. We don't want to lose, you know, any more games. So what do you think that guy's going to work on? His catching skills. And not only that, maybe he catches really good from, you know, close. And maybe they had to learn that from far, he was going like this and looked more Chinese than me. So what do you think his coach is going to observe? He's going to say, I think you need to go see the optician. And if the guy says, stop insulting me. Why are you telling me that? And then the coach would go, well, then you're benched. God needs to tell us what's going on that we can't see what's going on. And if that was an ABC-er, then they would have to say, well, then let me repent of my sins, renounce, break, and cast some demons out of my eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Let me make sure that what I'm seeing isn't ungodly, because that gives place to the devil to always attack my eyes. I'm going to do more affirmations of what I've been doing because I'm not seeing, I'm not seeing the progress, right? Okay, so these are some things. You know, we don't have doctors. We gave up doctors way before ABC. We saw that we wanted Jesus to be our only doctor. So in our ministry, we'd call him Dr. Jesus. And we'd ask him to come and heal the people. And we had seminars that a lot of people would come, and people would get healed in our lobby before they even came into the sanctuary. very high-ranking official in the mayor's office brought her son in, and he became deaf, and walking through to the sanctuary, he says, "I see a guy in a long white robe with like a stethoscope, and then I could hear now, Mommy. I could hear again." Mm-hmm. Why was that? Was because Jesus told us when we prayed that we had to go into our ministry hours before and just be on our face before God praying. Praying for the people that were coming, interceding that they would be healed, interceding that their eyes of the understanding would be flooded with light and their any hardness in their heart would be changed to softness, and that those that weren't saved would receive salvation. And many of them came and would get healed, and then they would say, "I want to receive Jesus as my Savior now because he healed me." Muslims came and got saved after Jesus healed them. A man appeared to me. I don't know who he was, but I needed knee surgery, and now I don't. Was that Jesus? Yes, it was. Okay. I believe. When God says it, you do it, and you do your part, then he does his part. And we were not seeing people raised from the dead. That was our goal. So we came to ABC because we heard that God was raising people from the dead. And you cannot go higher than your pastor, usually, in the ministry. So if you're under a pastor or a church that has a doctor, that has a diagnosis, that is taking medication, not relying on the Word of God, how do you think you're going to do? Because that anointing to break that yoke of bondage isn't there. That teaching isn't there. See, so many people got healed of cancer because of the testimony of what God did in my life, but I could show them the pathway that God showed me, then they could do that, and then God could work in their lives. I couldn't do the prayers for them. Now, the first time I prayed for them, they could get healed, but after that, they had to do their own work. So it's like saying, okay, you know, there's a specialist, and he's had more years of training than any primary care doctor, and it's a special cardiologist that can do heart transplants. How many MDs, regular family practitioners, can do that? And if they wanted to, don't let them touch you. What's their track record? A, B, C, D, or F, or nothing? Remember, everybody that graduates from medical school has a grade. But they come out with the same title, doctor. So do you want the guy that got a D minus, or do you want the one that got an A plus plus? And you don't know that. And so if Jesus is the doctor of doctors, what am I going to the people who don't even know what they're doing because they have to keep practicing because they call it a practice? I was practice on. When I was diagnosed with cancer, they said, "We have a new drug. It should help you after the surgery. And we're going to give you 400 milligram shots every month for 6 months." Then I was having all these other challenges and negative side effects and this and that. I didn't know how to pray against those in those days. I did pray for healing for myself from the cancer challenge, which they, after they took out the big tumors, they couldn't find out how come it wasn't cancerous. But thank God it wasn't, even though they said it was before, but now it's not. Okay, that's good. At least they're gone. And I didn't know how to avoid surgery back then, but at least God blessed me with the what I knew. And years later, another person I know, two other people, had the same hysterectomy challenge surgery. And they said, "We're going to give you, I think, 20 to 40 milligrams a month of the same shot." Now, what happened there? It opened up a lot of doors to a lot of challenges for many, many years. So as I was laying hands on the sick and they were miraculously recovering, HIV got healed out of the deathbed. People that were born deaf, and everybody knew it and couldn't talk, That man was, I think, 70 years old, in the back of an auditorium with 800 people. He heard me, and everybody was praising God, and then the mayor came to the meeting because now he wanted to get healed himself, because this man who was born in that village, God healed him. But then I was stuck with all this challenge myself in my own life, you see, because we're a vessel. I was an evangelist, and God, it's God's power, not my power. But even though I did the affirmations and I bound and cast out cancer and it left, those other challenges were very difficult for me in those days to cope with. One time I was having a fever and infection because they were constantly bombarding me. But I, you know what? I still went out there. I still prayed for the people and they still got healed. But then they had to take me to the doctor after. Now, what kind of faith statement is that? What kind of testimony is that? You see, I know God said it, but I didn't know how to do it. And so the pastor I was under had a doctor, constantly went to the doctor, constantly was getting sick, constantly had surgery. So guess what, you know, what was happening in the church? I didn't know how to get beyond that. So we never burn bridges behind us. We always keep our friendship and our love for people, but knew that God was moving us forward and came to ABC. The first couple years that right before I came, I actually had a heart attack challenge and ended up in the ER. And I'm a very private person. Nobody hardly knew. My parents didn't even come to the hospital. Why? Because I wanted to stand in faith. I wanted to keep my testimony pure. I wanted to make sure I could get healed. Not, they're good Christians and I know they're intercessors, but I didn't want people to know the scope of the diagnosis so people wouldn't get scared and out of concern say something that was contrary to what I was standing in faith for, if they weren't taught. So same thing after Pastor James and I prayed. They did this test and that test and this other test and whatever, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me, so they sent me home. But the pain was very challenging. You know, I passed out. And so when I first came to ABC, first couple of years, we were casting out demons and we were getting cleansed and things were going very, very hunky-dory. But see, we had gone to another ministry and gotten cleansed. And for about 90 days, it was like heaven on earth. It was so beautiful. You know, our marriage was never tumultuous. We were best friends, always got along, never yelled, screamed, whatever. And then after going to that ministry and getting delivered, we used to call it delivered, then all of a sudden, little things like, you press the toothpaste in the middle. You did not roll it up at the end. I want a divorce! I mean, it was crazy! I mean, over a toothpaste tube, we were screaming and yelling. And then we, like, finally got a hold of ourselves and said, this has got to be the seven worsers. Oh, no, Christians aren't allowed to have seven. No, Christians cannot have seven worsers. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. This cannot happen. But it did happen. And it kept happening, kept getting worse and worse, and we didn't know how to do. Okay, so we said, we got to go somewhere that knows how to help us. So we came to ABC Church. Then we got cleansed. Everything was great. We're, you know, learning how to implement our daily warfare prayers, all the morning prayers and things that we're doing. And we're very diligent. 4 hours of prayer, 5 hours of prayer, 6 hour prayer. I don't know how we got our work done. I was working 6 days a week from 4 a.m. to 7 p.m., 6 days a week. And then I had to prepare for teachings for ABC and to teach and whatever when you started teaching. And then our marriage, it just got harder and harder and more difficult and more difficult. And then finally we realized, what are we not doing? We had to go back to basics. We realized that the demons bamboozled us and we forgot some of our prayers we memorized. They'll do that. So we went back to our papers, you know, the ones in the notebook. We created a notebook with all the prayers and we said the paper. We just said every paper. We did what it said. And we said, we're not going to rely on our memory because something's not right here. And as soon as we did that, the attack stopped. Go back to your basics. Don't give up those sheets. Those were inspired by the Spirit of God. And exactly what is in that prayer is necessary for your spiritual warfare. So what did we do? I learned from somebody else here. She took a, because she travels a lot, she took a picture of her prayers, put it in her phone. I said, I'm going to do that. So no matter where I am, I've got them. So I can keep doing them and making sure I'm doing them correctly and not relying, because mind control, controlling spirits, memory loss challenges, it'll mess people up. Even if you don't have a memory challenge, okay? So when God said it, just do it. You have to trust that God told Pastor Joshua, what is the revelation of this spiritual warfare? What are the, what's a curriculum? What are the teachings? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to do it? You know, when I was doing it on my own, I wasn't doing too well. And when I started doing exactly the way it was written, we saw progress. And then we tweak, we went back to the basics, and we always check ourselves. And so if I'm mentoring someone, it's not that I don't rely on you, that you know what you're doing. It's that I don't trust the demons who influence people. Okay? So most of the people that we mentored when we first started asking them how to do their CRRB, confess, repent, renounce, break, and establish the kingdom of God. Only one person got it right. All of them got it wrong. They skipped this, they skipped that, they made up their own stuff, wasn't even on the paper. That's why things aren't working in people's lives. If we're going to conform to the image of Christ, we have to conform to what Christ gave us here for our spiritual warfare. So why am I doing this? Because half the church was not saying it right. I'm not kidding you. Half the church. So listen up. And so after started mentoring people and started really listening, helping them see what's going on, see what's the lifestyle, how were they implementing the change of the virtuous, victorious cycle and not slip back down the slippery slope. It was the best example I ever heard Pastor Matthew say. It really put something in my mind. I didn't want to do that because I'd done that and I have to keep moving forward up that mountain and not doing the vicious cycle again, but then I just get right back up and I do what I need to do. But see, accountability and support is important for someone to know what you're doing and observe and to hear so that there is a progress chart that is being made that you could rate yourself, but you know that there's accountability. You have to tell someone, did you do it or not? Then usually you're going to say, I'm going to do it. Isn't that true? A prayer partner? Okay, someone to help you. But if you are walking as a drummer to your own beat, doing things on your own, pretty much if you're not hearing and asking people, well, what are the sins I'm doing that I'm unaware of, you'll probably not see it for a long time. But God will probably eventually tell you, but I'd rather learn faster than later. This teaching came out of that. And if I don't get to all of this, then I'm going to ask Pastor Joshua for a part two, because you needed to hear the premise by which this is the foundation, because we're trying to get people to live and not die. How can people live and not die if they can't even get rid of the flu every year and still going to get the flu shot? I'm telling you. It surprises me that when we sit in the teachings, that I think it's because there's so much information that we can't grasp it all. But the other thing is there's a demon of tiredness that attacks people to fall asleep and they don't hear it all. There's also people don't write and take notes, so it's hard to get in the memory banks. Memory is caused by reading, writing, speaking, doing, teaching somebody else, ministering to somebody else. So it's good for you to help someone so that you're helping yourself. Very important. If you don't have a prayer partner, ask God for one. And we can help you if you don't know who to partner with. There are people, because we don't want you to do it by yourself. so that you could get that assembly of the brethren together. Okay? So this is why this is done, because now after about 2 years, there are people who have gone back to their basics. They have done exactly what we have recommended. That is a reminder of what was taught in healing school, but we broke it down into more detail so they could implement it into a daily walk. And some people have marveled their doctors and completely off of medication, reversals of things that couldn't be reversed. And I started working with some other people 4 years ago that didn't do as what Pastor Joshua recommended for us to recommend to them. And their symptoms came back worse than before. Mm. Back in the hospital with worse challenges. And now life-threatening challenges that maybe have 6 months. What do you see the behavior? What do you see the difference? The person who came in after them 2 years, but they did everything that we taught, has gotten incredible reports. And so let's go back to the basics. It's the demons trying to tell people you don't have to do that. It's not that important. It's too boring. I already know that. I just have to do the shortcut method, whatever it is. It's all a lie of the devil. You got to do what the word says in order for us to get what we need from it. That's God's rule, not my rule. Okay? So, that was all my introductory overview. God's promises are conditional, and if you obey certain conditions, you will receive that promise. There's around 1,500 verses in the Bible that contain the word if. There are lots of promises in the scriptures that do not use the word if, but contains promises given to everyone who meet that condition, like we see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, here's the condition, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Therefore, if those that don't believe cannot. So everyone can receive that, okay, if they believe. So it doesn't say if, but it implies that. So, A, if you confess and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Romans 10, 9, and 10. You understand that. You confess with your mouth, you believe with your heart. 1 John 1, 9. If you're not doing that every single day, at least every 2 hours, you are opening up the door to the devil and for the 7 worsers to bring symptoms back. 2 years ago, I was so challenged to be, no, not more than 2 years ago. It was the first 2 years that we moved out to ABC, and I was working 4 a.m. to 7 p.m. 6 days a week, and it was challenging to get my prayers in. And I passed out with another heart attack challenge at home where we were living at the time. And my husband, thank God he had learned what he had learned from ABC. And I was going through a dark tunnel into the light. And I, to be honest, I didn't want to come back. There was such peace. There was such peace. And I just kept hearing my husband, Karen, come back in the name of Jesus. Demons, devils, and spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I bind and cast you out, wash you out. I mean, I'm hearing all this and I'm like floating, thinking, oh, this is wonderful. Why am I going to come back? And there was so much challenge of pain in my chest, just like when I ended up in the ER. You don't think that was 7 worsers? The first time I almost fainted, and I kind of sort of was going to be fainting, and then I got to the hospital, and then they put IVs and stuff, and then I didn't pass out. The second time I passed out, I was gone. Now, I don't know for how long my husband was over my body and prayed me back, because it was late at night. He had no chance to call anybody. He just went into default mode. You know why he could bring me back? Because we learned it well as we could. Now I'm going to show you the school of hard knocks. From there to now, I was in excruciating pain since I was in a car accident, since I was 19, till last Tuesday. It didn't matter if I didn't sleep for 24 hours because I was preparing my sermon because I didn't have time, and I got up here without any sleep, with a lot of pain, dizziness, challenges, holding onto the wall, holding onto the car, trying to get, you never knew it. Still never knew it. I put on my joy face because the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I am a living testimony that this works. Last Tuesday, I received 100% of that manifestation. On Wednesday morning, it came back worse than before. The devil was trying to steal my testimony from tonight. I still would have gotten up here. I don't care if I had to crawl to this pulpit, I was going to be teaching this sermon. Because the devil's a liar. See, all these years, 6 years, I manifested about 80% of my healing. And after we moved, it was like glory hit us. I mean, our marriage is better than it's ever been because we've gotten rid of a lot of demons, because we're walking in love, because we're exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. And when I blow it, I apologize, and then I go get rid of those demons and ask God to help me more. I'm a different person since when I first came. Hardly anybody knows what our lives are like because life is so occupied at ABC. It's hard to describe everything. And it's not that we didn't want help. It's just that we want to work out what we're learning, if that makes sense to you. I want to apply it to my life. And so since Wednesday, I had a battle again because the seven worshipers tried to come. And I was tempted to stay in bed all day. Kid you not. And you know my philosophy. I fought it through, kept asking the Holy Spirit, what is the sin of offense or unforgiveness? That's the root. It's always the root that opened the door. Always the root. Didn't know what it was. I mean, I forgave everybody this, that, their dog, their cat, their whatever. I mean, I'm doing it all. I didn't know, because you don't know what you don't know. But I pressed in to spend more time with God. I pressed in to spend more time with Him, the Holy Spirit, with the Heavenly Father, with Jesus. And then I cleansed maybe 1-2 times a day, sometimes 1 hour, 2 hours, because I want to get rid of these things. And my life has improved so much. So again, I pressed in today to spend time with God, and God's never late, you know. Didn't matter to me, you know, if there were still symptoms that were trying to come back or whatever before I ministered. But when you're in pain, it's very challenging. Everybody's nodding their head because you know you've been through it. But I chose to come regardless what those challenges were. But my time alone today, the Lord showed me exactly where I was offended. I didn't even realize it. It was kind of a side thing. But that gave place to the devil. But because I was diligent and increased what I've learned, I got the victory back. Amen. 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 My husband came home this afternoon to pick me up, and he said, "How's the pain challenge?" I said, "What pain?" Amen. 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 I'm telling you because I know what you're going through. It's so weird that every time I mentor someone, they list off like 20 things of diagnosis. I had that, and they're done that. And the other person, I had this and this diagnosis. I had those too. I'm not kidding you. It was, I needed the overhaul. And they were very serious diagnoses. And so, I'm telling you that God wants you to have victory. And this is a roadmap and a key to help you. It's not just a teaching, it's a life lesson. And it works. The people who've walked away from this are going to the others who are their leaders. I left a ministry that was healing people because the heads of it ended up in the hospital and almost died. I said, I don't want that to be me. They can't help me. I am where I need to be. Have I been offended by people here? Yes. Have I probably offended people? Well, not realizing it till afterwards. Yes. Is that a reason to leave? Yes. Did I leave? No. Why? Because if you're the only lifeboat going through the end times, and no other boat knows how to even to get in the water, they don't even realize they have to get in the water, and their boats are leaking, and I'm not going there. But I'm getting in the one, the ark of the anointing, and I'm staying in this ark of anointing no matter how many demons, devils, and evil spirits try to get me out of here through any way, shape, or form. Because my husband said when we came, we planted our flag here. When we make a decision, we are not wishy-washy people. The last ministry I was with, I was there from I was 19 years old till 6 years ago. Six, 7 years ago. I'm a faithful person. So when we plant our flag, it's not for, let's check it out and see if it works. And if other people are not progressing, it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It means that we need to show them how to work it better. Why can't we give each other grace to improve? Why can't we support each other and love each other? And if God said this is what this ministry is supposed to do, then we need to just do it and you'll see the results. If you're not seeing results, it's because you're not doing it all. Maybe part of it, maybe most of it, but just missing one little iota of a thing, that might be very important. But people don't realize that. One little thing when you get in an airplane, lock the door. They forgot one little thing. Makes a big difference. When they say, are you getting on the plane? I said, no, ma'am, I'm getting in the plane. You know? You've got to just do what God tells you to do. So, B, if you diligently obey God, blessing shall overtake you. You know how many times that I see that more challenges are overtaking people instead of the blessings. Let's reverse that, okay? See, if you forgive whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Why are we keep going over this over and over and over? Because the fig tree that was cursed because it wasn't producing had no use in the kingdom. If I am not producing fruit and I'm not progressing, God can't use me. The curses will come on that person's life because you're not walking in the blessings. And so you have to have God's kind of faith. And if you're saying to the mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, if it's not being cast in the sea, you better check what's doubt in your heart. Go back and ask the Lord. Do your checkup because you're not believing what you're saying. When you stand praying, if you have anything against anybody, forgive. If you don't forgive, you'll still have sickness in your life. If you don't forgive, the Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Now, why did I skip verse 24? Therefore, I say to you what things that you ask when you pray. What happens when you pray? Believe that you receive them, you will have them. When you pray is the same as verse 25. And whenever you stand praying. So when you pray, you can't believe you receive them and you'll have them if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Mm-hmm. Impossible. And that's part of your problem, is that you don't see it. And even though you're not aware, you got to press in to ask the Holy Ghost so He tells you. You got to be willing to hear the truth so the truth will set you free and not argue with the Holy Spirit. Because I want to get rid of the roadblocks. Okay? D, if you abide in God's word, you'll be a disciple set free. Are you set free from the challenges yet? Well, does that mean you have to abide in His word more? Yes. Because obviously, your grade level isn't A yet. So you're not doing enough. Number one, I have found that persistency in prayer is a key to successful spiritual warfare. What does that mean? Persistency means to go on resolutely in spite of opposition. To remain unchanged or fixed in a specific character, condition, or position. To be insistent in the repetition or pressing of an utterance, such like a question or opinion, and I'm going to add, or affirmation, because Merriam-Webster doesn't know about that many affirmations. To continue to exist, especially past the usual expected or normal time. Are you going to be persistent with persistency? And that's how you're going to live and remain. Okay? Perseverance is a synonym. Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, opposition, and be steadfast. So I'm encouraging you today, keep being steady on your road. You've come this far. You're almost there. The people who have quit are the people that I see that are having challenges. Mm-hmm. Even though you don't see changes, know that God's working. Know that the Word is working in your life regardless. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:58a. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't care how many affirmations you've done. I don't care how many affirmations you forgot how to do or didn't do. Get back up and do them again, okay? Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Luke 11:9-10, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. We need to knock more on God's door and get into a deeper place in the Holy of Holies. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to the plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely comes to poverty. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if you do not lose heart. So there's a lot of people we minister to get discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned. Don't give up. Don't give up. You are on the right road. Consistency in prayer is a key to successful spiritual warfare. Number three is frequency in prayer is a key to successful spiritual warfare. Those three things, if you get nothing else out of tonight, is if you do those three things, you persist. And what's consistency? It's showing steady conformity in character, or profession, belief, or custom, like a consistent patriot. Disciplined, unwavering consistency is what I call it. And you're adhering to your principles, and nothing can move you away from it. Okay? That it's going to be, I'm going to do 20 affirmations, and every day you do 20. And I don't care if someone says do 1,000. But if you know you can't get 1,000, don't do 1,000 one day, 5 one day, 500 another day, 50 another day. That's inconsistency. You need your warfare to be the same every day. Okay? It's a spiritual concept. Pastor Joshua says it, just do it. He's had more years in spiritual warfare. Listen, I'm pretty good in spiritual warfare. I've seen some pretty big demons, bigger than houses. I've had to go in and cast demons out that killed people before I walked in the house. And the people that went with me were so scared they didn't want to go. Some of them didn't go in the door. I said, I'm not going to be afraid of that demon. It's going to be afraid of me when I walk in. And that demon threw someone against the wall and broke their hip. And I had to cast it out, and it did. Nobody else died after that. So I'm not afraid of the devil. But I know that if I'm at that level and I'm dealing with some big, big challenge and I can't deal with it, I call Pastor Joshua and I say, can you help me with this? And what normally would take 6 to 12 months in the natural for somebody else, less than a month it's turnaround. A couple of days it's turnaround. Sometimes the same day it's turnaround. I am telling you people, you don't know what blessing God has given us in the general that's over us. You need to appreciate what we have in our midst. Every vessel has weaknesses. I'm not perfect. The leadership here is not perfect. But we love you and we do the best we know how to live it. And we need to give each other grace, knowing it's demons, and we're going to stay the course. Okay? So get consistent. Do what you can do, how much you can. Persistence is saying, I don't feel good, but I'm going to get up and pray anyway, instead of just laying there and letting the demons beat you up all day. Okay? And then it's also saying, I am going to make sure that I'm making a mark. Frequency in prayer, in spiritual warfare. If I am not frequently confessing my sins and establishing the kingdom of God, I have opened the door to the seven worships to come back. I've got to keep myself in the anointing and the kingdom of God so I don't have those challenges come back. That's what happened Wednesday when I had 100% manifestation. I've been waiting since I was 30 years old to get the full manifestation of my healing. And I'm 60 years old now. I know I don't look it, but I admitted my age. Okay, 60 years. 30 years of waiting for 100% manifestation. And the devil tried to make me think it was robbed the day after I got the 100%. So all those years, but it accelerated only when I got to ABC. Let me tell you, okay? So I had to use the tools. So I increased my frequency of my CRB, my establishing the kingdom of God, my warfare, daily mini scenarios, which Pastor Joshua showed us how to do that. And I'm telling you, the word works. And so I have my, well, I would say 100% healing of the pain. Let's put it that way. There are some other challenges that I haven't worked on yet. But the pain was the main thing, and the dizziness and not being able to move. And the diagnosis I had was chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and they said, we have no cure for you, but we can give you more pain pills. Mm-hmm. And I said, that didn't work before, so I'm going to use it now. I threw them down the toilet. And so I have been healed of what the world calls incurable. That was what I was working on. Wow. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the other things will come, you know, when I start working on the vision, the other things. You know what I mean? So I want to encourage you to do those things. And we'll go over the rest of them in detail if, you know, God permits. But that is the most important thing. If God said it to this ministry, do these prayers this way. Do this spiritual warfare that way. If you haven't learned spiritual warfare yet, you are not spending enough time to progress where you need to be if you need to overcome big challenges. So press in more. I know that people have occupied schedules. We moved out here so that we could be under this anointing and learn. We used to commute for years from a long way, and my husband worked even farther than that and commuted daily for years to where we were living and being under ABC. We would have driven from Arizona. Well, who wants to, you know, drive out of state, you know? But we would have. It's that important to us if there was no live streaming. And so people who said, it's boring and I can't do any more affirmations, then you rate yourself. Are you happy with the grade that you have? Then live with it. I want A. I want to be excellent in all things. And so God could use me more so that I could tell people what He has done in my life. Amen?
Amen.
So if God said it, just do it, and you'll get to where you need to be. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Lord God Almighty, Father God, our Abba Daddy, Precious God, we love you so much. We thank you for loving us, that we love you because you first loved us. You are so wonderful. We just can't say it enough. And you loved us so much, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay that price that we could not pay, that we could spend eternity with you by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it, he broke it, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me." The body that was given to the cat of nine tails, to the whip that tore the flesh from the bone, the 39 stripes that killed most men. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing and available to suffer so greatly, taking upon yourself every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain. You took them all for all mankind, for all time, so that we could be free. So that we could be healthy, healed, whole, well in every part of our bodies, in our minds. Your word is clear that healing belongs to us. In Isaiah, looking ahead 700 years, Isaiah prophesied that by those same stripes we are healed. And Peter looked back at the cross and said, "By his stripes we were healed. We have been healed. It is now a completed work. That which was prophesied has now been accomplished, and it is the price that is paid in full and complete, and it now belongs to us." Oh, Jesus, thank you. Abba, Daddy. Thank you. What a blessing it is for us. What a blessing it is for Pastora Karen to be free of that pain. The breakthrough came. The manifestation came. And we all rejoice with her. Because that's what you paid for, Jesus. And it belongs to her. And it belongs to us. And we refuse to let the devil lie to us. We're willing to fight for what belongs to us. We're willing to enforce that victory in our lives. For the devil doesn't play fair, and he doesn't play nice, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But we refuse to let him. In Jesus' name. We choose to go God's way. We choose to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ of Nazareth on our behalf. So we take the broken body of Jesus and we receive the healing, the health, the wholeness, the wellness, the restoration, the rejuvenation, the recreation, whatever we need in any and all parts of our bodies. We receive it now in this great exchange, partaking of the broken body of Jesus to receive our wholeness now together in remembrance, rejoicing, and receiving. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same manner, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you, for remission from sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have wiped the slate clean. You've taken every one of our sins, paid the price for them all, past, present, future, known and unknown, all of our sins, washed away by the blood of Jesus into the sea of forgetfulness where God remembers them, where he chooses to remember them no more. And with this same blood, Jesus sealed the old covenant and established the new, better, and everlasting covenant for us, for these last days. Many promises, many weapons, many tools in the Word of God, this awesome covenant of God that belongs to us. The life is in the blood. The life of Jesus Christ is in this blood that we are about to pour into our physical bodies. And we pray that it goes to every cell, every fiber, every organ, every system, every function of our bodies, renewing us with that life, that Zoe life of Jesus Christ that never dies. He gave up his body. He gave up his life. But that was so that we could live. Again, the great exchange. He died so that we could live forever, that we need never die. We thank you, Lord, that we shall not die, but we shall live and declare the works of the Lord, that we shall be alive and remain faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ when you return for us, Lord Jesus. We look forward to that day. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. So let's, in remembrance, In thanksgiving, partake together of the precious blood of Jesus Christ.